This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold. I
hit it home. All right, good morning. What's going on this Saturday, July the 13th? British Open coming up next week. Alex Gold in studio. Charlie Epps actually on the road. Epps out in Colorado, and so he's going to call in around 40 after or so. So we'll check in with him, see how the trip is going, get his thoughts, and we'll focus in on the British Open a little bit more with him. We'll also do, since the major, right, we'll do our draft. Last time around, Bill got the best of me and Charlie for that, so we'll have some fun around that. Take a look at Tiger Woods, who really the only public activity he has had since Pebble Beach has been the social media post this past week for Nike when he was telling us that he gets up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and he's been doing that because that would be 6 a.m. at Royal Port Rush, the site of this year's British Open. So we'll have some fun with that a little bit later on. Also, special guest going to join me and Bill Harmon around 2025 after, and that is Bruce Davidson. He's the PGA Master Professional, APGA Master Professional, and Director of Golf for the Friedkin Group based out of Diamond Creek there in North Carolina. He's also a three-time Senior Open participant. So we'll catch up with him, see how things have been going, his thoughts on golf in 2019, where it stands, and of course heading into the British Open and what's going on out at the Scottish Open as well. So looking forward to that. Bill Harmon's going to hop on next segment with me, and we'll talk a little bit about the John Deere Classic, which is going on right now. Jonathan Vegas, the leader at this point, and had a hell of a 16-foot birdie putt yesterday. Plus, Lucas Glover in the mix, Albatross. You got to hear the call of that on PGA Tour radio, so we'll bring you that. And heading into the John Deere Classic, the story was the young guys. In fact, Bill, myself, and Charlie, we were texting back and forth earlier in the week. I sent him a screenshot of the odds heading in to the John Deere Classic, and it was led by the young guys, the youngsters. And I understand that it's the week before major, and part of the field is also at the Scottish Open. Part of the field is still at the John Deere Classic. But still, guys like Victor Hovland, and then you got Matt Wolf, who of course won the 3M championship there in Minnesota last week. So we'll take a look at that. The American Century Championship, one of the biggest celebrity golf tournaments of the year, going on in Lake Tahoe. So a lot to get into. It's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Johnny Vegas is tracking this one in for birdie here, Carney.
Straight up the gut. Just hit it firm enough.
Yeah. Oh, he drips it in the front door. Johnny Vegas with yet another birdie.
Vegas, the leader at the John Deere Classic through two rounds, 13 under, one-stroke lead on top of Andrew Landry. We'll talk a little bit about that throughout the show in this first segment as Bill Harmon now joins me on the phone. No Charlie, Bill. It's just you and I here for the next hour.
Or who are we going to pick on there?
I don't know. Probably me, I have a feeling, is what's going to happen.
No. I'll miss Charlie.
Absolutely. He's going to call in around 40 after, so we'll have our fun with Charlie. He's in Colorado, of course, hanging out there for the last week or so. Bill, what's going on with you, man? This is the final week here before we get set for the British Open.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, we've got a really packed leaderboard this week at the John Deere. You know, and we talked a little bit in the last few weeks about, you know, has the new schedule, hurt some of these other tournaments? Mm-hmm. And, almost none of the really, really top players are at the John Deere, and only a few of them played in Detroit. And then they didn't play well, which I think hurt the tournament a little bit. So, very interesting. You know, this is the first year of the new schedule, and there's always going to be unintended consequences, I guess, but I was talking to Jay Haas about this, and he he said, you know, there's so much money nowadays, and then the FedEx playoffs, and he still thinks, because he grew up in an era where there wasn't nearly as much money, so playing 4 or 5 weeks in a row wasn't that big a deal. But he said nowadays the young guys, you know, make so much money, and that they kind of save themselves for different tournaments. So just interesting that there really are almost no top players playing in the John Deere this week.
No, and, you know, I think I was on Tuesday, I sent both you and Charlie just a screenshot of the odds heading into this tournament, and we were discussing just the young names, and some of these guys, it's their third or fourth professional event, and they're not even, you know, officially PGA Tour. They don't have a card for the tour yet, and these guys were the favorites to win the event.
That was really something. Weren't they the first three guys?
Hovland and
guys that weren't even exempt for the tournament were favored. As it turned out, I think Vegas got it wrong.
Right.
You know, I think it's once again an exciting time for the game. I think we got to be a little cautious. You know, many people were anointing Cameron Champ as the next it. You know, when he won it, I believe it was Vegas, and you know, he hardly makes a cut now. I do not think that'll be the situation with these guys, because they were all big time winners in college. I don't think Cameron Champ is quite the winner that Hovland and Matt Wolf were in college. So we have to understand it's a long career. It's very competitive. But what they've both found out is that their good will translate into professional golf. So that's the one thing that we have learned here early on, that their good play does translate into the PGA Tour. And I think it just makes it more exciting. And I thought it was funny that as I watched the tournament last week, which I thought was terrific last round, Matt Wolf and the other young man, Colin, they were almost talking about DeChambeau as so he was some grizzly veteran. I think he's 25 years old.
Yeah, and that was, you're right though about the finish last week up in Minneapolis area. I mean,
terrific.
That was fun. That was fun. And as you said, with the schedule, you know, the last 2 weeks prior to that, it hadn't been all that interesting for the most part since the U.S. Open, and the fields hadn't been good. But that was the most exciting golf we'd had in what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks since Pebble Beach.
Well, and I think the play, the standard of play, the beautiful shots that they hit, and, you know, Bryson Eagle in the last hole, and then these two young men just step up and hit beautiful drives, beautiful approach shots, and Matt Wolf, you know, made the putt for Eagle. But the quality of the play coming in, I thought, was extraordinary. And the way that the two youngsters in the last group acted like they'd been there forever. Evidently, they played high school golf against each other. They've known each other for years. I love the way they'd walk down the fairway talking to each other, and then when it was time to play, it was time to play. They were almost acting like it was a junior tournament out there. So I thought it was a really kind of a victory for the game, kind of a window into what to expect. A lot of these young players coming out of college are very, very seasoned, very accomplished players. So I think the game is once again getting very, very exciting.
Wolf is 4 under at the John Deere Classic, all the way back at tied for 53rd with Victor Hovland, 4 under as well. And it's interesting, I don't know how long it'll last, but in this day and age, it's pretty rare to find any professional athlete, even if it's a golfer, it doesn't matter what we're talking about, what the sport is. But Victor Hovland doesn't have any social media. He's, you know, it's pretty rare that somebody at his age wouldn't be active. I don't know how long that's going to last when it comes to marketing opportunities and things like that. But that's what's kind of funny to me, is that he doesn't have any social media profile, which I don't know if that's, at his age, maybe that's a great thing for him, just in terms of the focus and avoiding some of the distractions.
Yeah, maybe he's just a golfer.
Yeah.
You know, that could be too. There's some people that just want to play golf. Maybe where he grew up in Norway, that just wasn't something that interested him. But I like the way both of them handle themselves. I don't know. I think that the game is, once again, back in good hands. But let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. The PGA Tour is a tough league. And you know, you can win one week and then miss three of the next four cuts, and you wonder if you're ever going to play good again. So right now we haven't seen either one of them have to deal with tremendous adversity. And, you know, if you go to this week alone, you shoot, three under par and you miss a cut, you know. Mm-hmm. So you can play pretty good golf and miss cuts on the PGA Tour. So I'm very excited to see how both of them do, but I'm not going to jump overboard 1 month into their career.
Round three of the John Deere Classic, of course, already underway this morning. The featured groups will start around 12:30 or so. We're going to get an early break here on this Saturday edition of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, because coming up next, we've got a special guest joining us on the phones. We'll welcome in Bruce Davidson, PGA Master Professional and Director of Golf for the Friedkin Group. And of course, he's based out of Diamond Creek in North Carolina, a three-time Senior Open participant. So we'll talk with him next about the British Open and just golf here in 2019 on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
From 255 for Lucas Glover. This par 5. This one bounces in front of the green. Now on to the surface. Front left hole location. Turning right to the cup. Caught the left edge and fell. A double eagle as he holes out from the fairway from 255 yards away. It's a 2 at the par 5 10th for Lucas Glover, and he vaults to minus 8 for the championship.
Albatross there for Glover. Call courtesy of PGA Tour Radio at the John Deere Classic. Glover currently sits in third place, two strokes off the lead at 11 under. He'll tee off at 12:26 this afternoon. Alex Gold with you. Charlie Epps in Colorado. He'll call in a little bit later on in the show. Bill Harmon with me as always as well. And excited now to head out to the Progressive Insurance Hotline and bring on Bruce Davidson, PGA Master Professional, Director of Golf for the Friedkin Group, and of course based out in North Carolina at the Diamond Creek Club there, and he's also a three-time Senior Open participant. Bruce, good morning.
Morning, Alex. Hey, Billy.
Hello there, Bruce.
So how are things going for you, Bruce, out in North Carolina? Let's start there, and then we'll head into the British Open and start looking toward next week.
Actually, guys, I'm in Houston. I've spent most of my time this season at South Carolina at a course called Congaree. So I'm back in Houston before I head over. I'm going to go over tonight, actually, to Great Britain. So looking forward to, like all golf fans, watching the Open Championship next week.
Bruce, have you played Port Rush?
You know, Billy, I haven't. Many guys I know have, and they love it. They say it's a true test of golf.
Yes, I've played it myself. I think it's beautiful. We'll love to see how it plays next week. Of course, as you know, being from Scotland, the weather dictates so much on links golf courses. Do you like the way that, by and large, the Open Championship doesn't dramatically change golf courses for the Open? They kind of allow Mother Nature to be the person or be the factor that designates how a course will play. Do you like that about the British Open?
You know, Billy, I do. I think the Open Championship, to those of us who grew up on that side of the pond, is the ultimate test. I mean, it was one that I always failed to qualify for, but always wanted to. You really have the most international field. You have the best players in the world at the peak of their season, right in the middle of the British summer, which is sometimes not very summery. But if you look at the way the golf course looks anyway on television, it's very green. They've had a lot of rain there this spring. It's been cold. I think it's playing softer than would be normal. Certainly the last couple of years with the heat waves they've had, the golf courses have really played fast and firm. And I actually think, Bill, that I was thinking about this last night. I think it favors some guys who are using very modern equipment this year. Ping have come out with a wedge, Glide 3, which frankly spins the ball like like that used to spin a Balata, and TaylorMade have that high toe wedge, which Rory and Rahm and those guys are using. And I think that will allow them to, with the soft conditions and the distance that these guys hit the ball through, I think scoring might be very low.
Well, Bruce, that kind of leads me into my next question. I was going to ask you, just based on how some of these guys on the tour have been playing, going back to the U.S. Open as well, I understand completely different golf course, but just what you've seen in 2019, a golfer or two that you think this course does set up very nicely for?
Well, I listened to Rory McIlroy's interview. Obviously, he's carrying the weight of Ireland on his shoulders, or Northern Ireland anyway. But I listened to his interview this week at the Scottish Open, and he seemed very comfortable. He was asked, what did it look like with the stands around it? He basically said, the same as it's looked like since I was 11 years old. You know, he knows the course, he grew up there. I wouldn't discount Rory being in the mix, because he is, as Billy and I have said many times on the show, we think he is ultimately the most gifted natural golfer on the planet. But, I was looking at the odds this morning. Ladbrokes, Matt Kuchar's 33-1. I mean, that's a good each-way bet. There's lots of guys. You've got to hit your ball straight over there. I think everyone knows that when you get in trouble, your first aim is to get out and make a bogey and not try to compound the error. I think it's going to be fabulous viewing. I really do.
Bruce Davidson, PGA Master Professional Director of Golf for the Freakin Group, joining us here on SB Nation Radio. It is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. And I think it was last week, Tiger Woods, it was the first really public activity we had seen from him since Pebble Beach, and it was a social media post, and he was getting up at 1 o'clock in the morning because that would be 6 a.m. at Royal Port Rush, and he said he wanted to be prepared for that time change. How important even is that, in specifically for Tiger Woods in the layoff that he's having in between events?
Is that a question to me, Alex?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Is that question?
Yes.
For me?
Yes.
You know, I've never heard of anybody doing that. Tiger's the ultimate preparer, as we know. I'm sure there's a reason for that. I personally think that if the weather doesn't look great, it looks like the high is going to be in the 60s, and we saw at Pebble how Tiger doesn't like the cold weather. I mean, you've got to remember he's 42 years old now, which is pretty old for a tour player. But you can't discount him, can you? I mean, look what he's done. Look what he's done to come back, won the Masters. I'm sure he knows what he's doing. You know, Tiger's always trying to get a little bit of an advantage, and I was surprised to hear that, though I haven't heard of that before. Bill, have you?
But, you know, you have to figure out that nobody knows his body at this point better than him. You know, over the years, we've all wanted to make a schedule for Tiger. Over the years, I've come to trust him. You would think he would need to play more. I also wonder, Bruce, if he maybe had a little bit of an emotional letdown after winning the Masters. You know, we had talked on this show for the last few years. We didn't know if he'd ever play again, more or less win a major championship. And I wonder how much that took out of him, and if it's allowed him to lose just an ounce of fire. Because he really hasn't played much, and he never really talks about his health, so we don't really know, you know, what's going on with him. But that little thing he did on social media, getting up at 1 o'clock to get ready for the time change, although it could have been humorous, and also might tell you that he is getting ready for the Open at Port Rush. But I think you alluded to it. I think when you have a bad back and it's cold, those are not favorable conditions. And so you can never count that guy out. Even his finish at Pebble Beach, after being so many over par the last round, he was out of the tournament. He played the last 12 or 13 holes and 6 under. And that, I thought, showed a lot about who he is. And it's just hard to ever root against Tiger Woods, but it is interesting, since he won the Masters, how little he's really played, and you wonder if it's health-related at all.
Someone that we haven't brought up yet, and that is Brooks Koepka, and we know the year that he has had is simply incredible, specifically what he does at majors. Bruce, what impresses you so much, just the makeup of him physically, and what we're kind of seeing also just on the tour in general with with these guys that are truly, you know, athletes and are just ridiculous specimens on the PGA Tour?
Well, I have two answers to that. I mean, Claude Harmon, Billy's nephew, our friend who coaches Brooks, always told me, you know, he's the guy to watch. He's the guy to watch. And I'm thinking, man, how can you say that when you're coaching Dustin Johnson? I actually was at the Floridian was in Brooks Koepka's company with Mr. Crane. And, I mean, he didn't say two words. And then when he's interviewed, I think he actually is one of the more articulate and to the point and humble guys I've ever heard interviewed. When I was with him, I couldn't get two words out of him. Not that I was talking to him, but but his athleticism, it sort of goes with today's golf, doesn't it, Bill? I mean, if a kid you were teaching now that you, who might be good enough to play the PGA Tour, I mean, if they're not hitting the gym and they're not capable of driving the ball these distances that the guys do and gouging it out of the rough the way they do, they're going to have a hard time. I mean, it's hard to think of a kid like Russell Knox staring down Brooks Koepka and Brooks Koepka being scared. So I think he's just the antithesis of the, a great example of the modern athletes who decided to play golf, and they probably could have played other sports.
I think you're right, Bruce. I know years ago my dad used to say one of these days was going to be a great athlete, 6'6", 230 pounds, that can drive it 350 yards, and will change the course of the game. And nowadays, I think you're right. Whenever I go to a tour event, I am acutely aware of in what good shape 90% of the players are. It is a power game. It's an athletic game. And I guess we got to give Tiger credit for setting that standard.
And Brooks Koepka is 10-1. And I think that's a great bet.
Bruce Davidson, PGA Master Professional Director of Golf for the Friedkin Group, joining us here on SB Nation Radio. We're about to hit a break, Bruce, but before we let you go, and this has been a ton of fun, we appreciate you giving us some time this morning. Just what's going on for you looking ahead in projects that you got in the works?
Well, Congaree is my main focus. We're now about 200 at Masters play, which is terrific, and we just came off our third Global Golf Initiative, so we now have 51 Congaree kids who we are looking after and placing in college. So I'm very proud. John McNeely and I are very proud to be involved in that, and love to catch up with you sometime about it. Thanks for asking me on the show, guys. It's always great to be on, and I'll be thinking about you during the Open Championship.
Appreciate it, Bruce. Thanks, Have a good weekend. Bruce Davidson, PGA Master Professional Director of Golf, again there for the Friedkin Group. Bill, yeah, pretty neat. Obviously, that's the first time I've had a chance to catch up with him, but it's amazing, too, you think about, I know your guys is kind of the connections that you have. I was reading an article yesterday about him and of course, citing, you know, some of the legendary golf coaches, Claude and of course, Dick Harmon as well, as his biggest influences.
Well, Bruce worked for Dick at River Oaks. He went to Houston Baptist College, I believe, and they were their home course at River Oaks, and I think that's how he met Dick, and they became very, very close, and it's really kind of wonderful to see people like Bruce who came over here and kind of started, you know, caddying and working in the bag room. He's worked himself up to being one of the finest professionals in the game, so I consider Bruce Davidson a very, very close friend and someone I look up to and admire.
And he joined us on the Progressive Insurance Hotline. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new home quote explorer only at progressive.com. All right, coming up next, Charlie Epps is going to give us a call. We'll check in with him. He is in Colorado. We'll talk more about the British Open and any thoughts that he has from the John Deere Classic. We'll do our British Open major draft. Bill got the best of me and Charlie last go-around, so we'll see if we can't break that streak and see if we can't get the thing turned back over to Charlie or myself here. And an interesting story from Graham McDowell about Royal Portrush. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Thanks again to Bruce Davidson for hopping on the phones with us for a little bit there to look ahead to the British Open and just golf in general, where things stand in 2019. And joining us now on the phone, Charlie Epps. Of course, we can't have the Charlie Epps Golf Hour without Charlie at least calling in. You're in Colorado. How are things going?
You know, it's about, I'm up about 10,000 feet and I can hardly breathe, but it's beautiful. I like hearing you guys talk golf, but there's so many things going on. The Scottish Open is a great event. It's, you know, the getting ready for the British Open in Ireland. So Retief Goosen is having a great tournament. But Bill, is Wolf going to change? Is he the new Jordan Spieth?
Oh, I don't know, Charlie. It's hard to say. He's obviously very, very gifted. And, you know, he won all those college tournaments, and you don't do that by mistake. So he's coming out here very, very, very highly regarded and experienced in winning golf tournaments. So I'm always a little bit reluctant to anoint any of these people the next this, that, or whatever, you know, just because he won one tournament, which I think was fantastic, and I thought it was a great, great event. Alex and I talked about it, but, you know, let's give him time. You know, other the win obviously was incredible, but his other tournaments have not been unusually noteworthy, so I wouldn't want to put that kind of pressure on him. I think he's a, I'm just going to have fun watching him to develop, to be honest with you.
Johnny Vegas, Charlie, I was going to ask you, sorry, I was just, yes. Johnny Vegas, do you know him at all there? He's our leader there at the John Deere Classic by two strokes at 13 under. I think I was looking last night even on Facebook. It looks like you guys maybe have had some prior meetings.
Oh, Johnny Vegas is a great story. He came out of Venezuela. He came to the United States, got to Houston, Texas, didn't know a word of English. But he did have a good golf swing, and Rick Forrester, the Forrester family, was his host, and they brought him along, and he learned English. John Fields took him, made him into a really good collegiate player, and then John, you know, Vegas is just he's quite a story. He's taught himself English. He's successful, and he's won four or five tournaments, and he's the real deal, Bill.
He's got a beautiful golf swing, and he's had a very nice career. All started beating Bill Haas and Gary Woodland in a playoff at the old Bob Hope Classic before anybody knew about him, really. He came right on and won a tournament, so very much a quality player, as most of these young players are nowadays, Charlie. The depth on the PGA Tour really is incredible. And even a field that has very, very few top players in it, you know, it's another low cut. And, boy, the younger guys are, as Bruce alluded to, they're all athletes now. They work out. They're in shape. They hit the ball a mile. The state of the game really is exceptional.
You know, it's fun to watch Lucas Glover, who won the U.S. Open in 2009. How about that shot he made? 255-yard, 3-iron in the hole for a double eagle. These guys are hitting it so far and so accurate.
I've only seen one double eagle in my life, and it wasn't mine. So albatross is unbelievably rare in golf. And boy, what a heck of a way to improve your score, huh, Charlie? 3 under on one hole. That takes a long time to add up, boy.
But you got to go right back to, you know, the NCAA, and that's why I led with Wolf. Is he going to be the next Jordan Spieth? Because the Oklahoma States and Stanford, those great colleges, are really producing really, really premier golfers these days. They're coming out of 4 years of college, and they can win right on tour. And, you know, you go back in the history of the game, Ben Crenshaw did that. He won his first tournament as he won the Texas Open. And the guys that went early, Phil Mickelson won when he was in college on the PGA Tour, they go on to really, really be good players. So their pedigree is really, really outstanding. And I think this Wolf kid is going to show us a lot more great golf.
Well, I agree with you, and he's fun to watch, and I love the individual style of his swing. And he certainly, you know, Alex and I talked about it, Charlie. The finish last week was one of the best finishes we've seen in a long time at the PGA Tour event. And to think of the three people involved, two guys that were sponsors, exemptions, and then DeChambeau, eagle in the last hole to some people thought maybe that would be the winning eagle. Bare minimum get the playoff, and then these guys just hit the most beautiful shots in there, and Wolf drains the puck from off the green for eagle. So pretty good stuff.
Charlie Schoffauer here on SB Nation Radio. Sorry to cut you off again. Obviously, all three of us in different locations here on this Saturday edition of the show. The British Open, what's the biggest storyline you think and question, I guess, you have heading into next week's event?
Well, the big thing is the British Open has returned to Ireland, and it hasn't been played there for over 50 years. And it's got a great golf course. Bill has mentioned it on the show already. He's played it. I've played it. It is Rory McIlroy. Will he win the Open in Ireland, Bill? You think he's got the game to withstand that pressure, or Graham McDowell, or somebody from the Great Britain to be able to win the British Open, or as
well,
I call
Rory,
it?
Rory, it sounds like it's almost Rory's home course.
Mm-hmm. And yes, it is.
He won there when he was a teenager. And so that is a big advantage. The downside, I guess, if there is a downside, is the amount of pressure that he's going to be carrying of the whole nation playing on a course that is one that he's extremely familiar with. But I think the familiarity on a links course is a big deal because, as you know, they can get quirky, different weather conditions, the weather changes from hour to hour. So there'll be no condition that will flummox Rory McIlroy. So I think he has a tremendous advantage to have played there all those years. I don't think, you know, Graham McDowell, obviously a wonderful player, he doesn't have the game of Rory at the moment. Not that he couldn't get it next week, but I think the storyline is, as you said, Charlie, the Open Championship coming to Ireland, but the real storyline is going to be everybody's going to be looking at Rory, so I'll be very interested to see how he does and how he performs with a lot of pressure on him. That's a lot of pressure on him, but he's won a lot of big tournaments in his life, so I'd be really surprised if he wasn't a factor come Sunday.
You bring up Graham McDowell, and he's played Royal Portrush hundreds of times. He had a story this week on the European Tour's website and a blog post that they did, and his best score on the course is a 63. His worst, he said, quote, at least 103. And he told a story about him back when he was young, sneaking on the course with his brother. And then he says, you know, that his youngest sibling has been on the greenskeeping staff at Portrush for more than 20 years. So, yeah, very, very familiar with that golf course as well. All right, guys, I want to real quickly do our draft that we do for every single major. Last time at the U.S. Open, I think Bill got me by about 5 or 6 strokes, maybe Charlie by about 3 or 4. So Bill, since he was the winner last time, he gets to go last. That's how this works.
All right.
Charlie, you get to start things off. So again, we're each going to draft 4 golfers, and then we'll drop the worst score heading into the weekend. Charlie, you got first pick.
Well, I'm going Rory.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think you have to go for the reasons we just got done discussing. So all right, you're going to go Rory. kind of along the same lines, I got to go Koepka still with just how he plays in majors, and he's still the number one player in the world.
I'm going to go Shoffley.
Ooh, okay, and you get two in a row, too. Shoffley, wow.
My next one will be Paul Casey.
Ooh, wow, so you're going off the beaten path a little bit. I like it.
That's how I roll. I like that pick, but I never thought I would pick this gentleman, but Ian Poulter would be a great story to win the Open Championship.
Look at Charlie jumping me, Bill. You see this?
Charlie, or is that just a statement? Yeah, no, go ahead. I jumped.
Don't worry. I can promise you I was not going to select Ian Poulter, so it's okay. If you were to set a name I was going with, we would have had an issue maybe. I'll go, since we're going off the beaten path a little bit, I'll go Patrick Cantlay.
Good pick. Good pick. And so I've already put his name on the table. I want Ian Poulter.
Okay, and you get two in a row now. So you get one more.
I'm going to take a side way over to the left. And this kid I love, and I'd love to see Lucas Glover win the Open Championship. He's got the ball flight. His putting has really come back. He's been playing really well the last few weeks, and that's my hometown pick right there, Lucas.
All right, I'll go Justin Rose.
All right, I'm going John Rahm.
Rahm, and then you get your final pick. Yeah, Rahm's still on the board there. That's a pretty good pick, especially this late.
Yeah, you guys let that slip by, didn't you?
We did.
Yeah. You got me again. Gosh darn it, that really makes me mad. So I go ahead. Next pick?
Yeah, you get your last one right here.
I'm going to go Tiger.
Yeah, someone's got to. I mean, it's still Tiger. Someone's got to get him at some point here. Okay, so, all right, my final pick, and he's still on the board. It's hard for me to let him slip down. I don't like how he's been playing, but I'll go Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, I'm surprised Dustin hadn't played better this year, but that's a good pick. I'm going to go to the far right, Lee Westwood.
Oof. Okay, so I want to look this up for a second. Lee Westwood, he is, what is that?
Is he in the tournament?
he is in the tournament. He is 80 to 1. Lee Westwood is 80 to 1. I'm trying to see who had picked the biggest long shot. Ian Poulter, 66 to 1. Paul Casey, 45 to 1. Patrick Cantlay, 25 to 1. Xander Schauffele, 22 to 1. So yeah, by far that last one there, I think, was the longest of long shots there. So Rory, Poulter, Glover, and then, sorry, I just totally escaped me. The last name you just picked like 5 seconds ago.
In the trains, yeah, we didn't pick Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, nobody picked Spieth. Nobody feeling good about Spieth, huh?
Charlie, got Westwood was his last pick.
There you go. Thank you. Westwood, Rory, Poulter, Glover, Westwood. I went with Koepka, Cantlay, Rose, Johnson. Bill went with Schauffele, Casey, Rahm, and Tiger. I think Bill's got us again. When he snuck in Rahm and Tiger on the back end, that's pretty strong if Tiger shows up.
Yeah, you guys were trying to be cute there at the start, and I jumped right in on you.
I think, I was trying to get too cute with my picks a little bit early.
Put a little money on it, my picks would be different.
Well, I'm headed to Vegas next week. So next week, John Granato's going to be in for me. So Charlie will be in studio with John Granato. I'm in Vegas next week for the Pacquiao-Thurman fight, but I'll be there Wednesday before the British Open. So I am going to definitely put some money. I got to decide who I'm actually want to pick to win the damn thing. But we'll have some fun with that maybe next the week after on the show and everything like that. But let's get our final break in, guys. We'll come back and we'll wrap things up. It's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Wrapping things up on this Saturday morning, I'm sure both of you are extremely disappointed to learn and see the news that John Daly had to withdraw from the British Open after they said, yeah, we're not going to be like the PGA Championship and let you use that golf cart.
The British
PGA or the RNA were really smart in doing what they did, Bill. John has got to stop this nonsense and asking for special favors. If you can't play the way the conditions should be, don't enter.
Well, the USGA didn't allow them a golf cart in the Senior Open, and the RNA has agreed with them. PGA, on the other hand, has not. I don't think he should be allowed to have a golf cart. That's just the way it is. So I have really very little sympathy for it, to be honest with you. I don't think the tournament will miss him one bit next week.
Like
the Senior Open didn't miss him at Notre Dame a couple of weeks ago. Not one person talked about him. And I can tell you right now, none of the players are in his court. So it's just something that he seems to play the victim card better than just about any athlete I've ever seen, and he finds people to feel sorry for him. It's quite interesting.
Well, thanks so much again to Bruce Davidson, who joined us a little bit earlier on in the show. Charlie, have a safe drive back from Colorado. I know you'll be back in Houston, Tuesday or so, and we appreciate it, as always. And, Bill, good talking with you. And
thanks,
let's
guys.
Enjoy the British Open next week.
You got it. Thanks a lot, guys.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks to Andrew for producing the show across the glass as well. This has been another edition of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on SB Nation Radio.